This is an ABC Radio National podcast. For full details, abc.net.au/rn.
You're on ABC Radio National. Time for another science show. First, the bad news. As you know, the oceans are in a mess. Here's Andy Dobson from Princeton.
We're all seeing increasing signs that the world's oceans are sick and in some cases dying. These signs vary from increased disease outbreaks in marine mammals, fish and corals, to the sudden disappearance of once common species, as we're seeing with some of the coral species in the Caribbean. All of us worry that this is occurring because humans are increasingly treating the oceans as an all-purpose toilet and garbage dump. And by putting all this extra stuff into the oceans, we're knocking them out of balance and creating problems not only for the species that live in the oceans, but ultimately for ourselves. Most human diseases that we have come from agriculture. Why should we expect that fish agriculture shouldn't be the same? If you were really worried about new diseases appearing in the world, it's most likely that they will come from the newest types of agriculture. My own work, they involve synergistic interactions between pathogens and pollution. It involves an interaction between sea lions and herpes. The sea lions also get herpes. However, herpes in sea lions is relatively benign. If you just have herpes, it's there. If you live long enough, it may ultimately become pathogenic. Unfortunately, if you're also exposed to pollutants, such as DDT or a variety of other organics, then this relatively benign pathogen can become much more virulent. It causes very aggressive carcinomas, and many of the sea lions washed up along the beaches of California have really unpleasant carcinomas because of an interaction between a relatively benign pathogen and a relatively common environmental pollutant. We know very little about synergisms between pollutants and other benign pathogens, but we think that this might be the first well-documented example of many similar phenomena. Things that are relatively benign become much nastier once you have a pollutant. The second part of what I'm going to talk about is new work with Bernard Suras from Germany. This illustrates that parasites may actually play major beneficial roles in ecosystems. Particularly, wormy parasites may play a major role in sucking toxicants out of their hosts and reducing the poisonous effects of toxicants on those hosts. Some parasitic worms can concentrate in heavy metal pollutants thousands of times better than the hosts are able to concentrate them. As long as these parasites are in the ecosystem, the hosts are relatively healthy and nice to eat. As they get lost through invasive species arriving, you lose the worms, the hosts become much more toxic, and you really wouldn't want to eat them. So we wonder at the end of it whether you'll still see seafood as a healthy choice on tonight's menu or a beach holiday as a viable vacation, like the surfers of California. They all have to have hepatitis injections before they go surfing now because the oceans aren't as safe as they were when we all grew up. The only way to deal with this is tougher upstream legislation to reduce dumping of substances that are polluting the world's ocean and turning them into a mixture of a toilet and a garbage dump. Thank you.
Andy Dobson from Princeton. He was at the AAAS where they were talking about the extent to which the oceans have been trashed. Another example.
Good morning. My name is Frances Gullins. I'm a veterinarian and I specialise in marine mammals. And I work at a hospital for seals and sea lions in Sausalito in California. And over the past 30 years, we've probably treated over 10,000 sick and injured seals and sea lions. But back in 1998, for the first time, I saw something really unusual that we hadn't seen before. And what was happening over one weekend, which was Memorial Day weekend in 98, over 70 big, fat, adult female sea lions stranded along the beaches of Monterey Bay, having convulsions and seizures. Over half those animals died within hours of first showing clinical signs. Now, at the time, an extensive collaborative investigation with a number of different scientists, from oceanographers through to toxicologists, revealed that these animals were actually dying of something called domoic acid poisoning. And this domoic acid they acquired by eating anchovies and sardines in the area. Now, these anchovies and sardines had eaten diatoms containing domoic acid. So diatoms are just one of the many different types of algae that we now know that produce toxins that can damage human and animal health. These algae we tend to refer to as harmful algal blooms because they produce these harmful toxins. And we used to call them red tides because the first ones that we knew were red, but many now are actually transparent and can't be seen except with really elaborate water testing. Over the past 25 years, we've actually seen an increase in both the occurrence, distribution, and frequency of these harmful algal blooms worldwide. And the reasons for this are still unclear, but there are a number of factors that are probably really important, such as agricultural runoff, eutrophication of our coastal waters, overfishing of fish species that prey upon these algae, ballast dumping, and probably even global climate change can influence the frequency of these blooms. And from my perspective, accompanying this increase in harmful algal blooms, we've also seen an increase in the number of sea lions washing up along the coasts of California. And since 1998, there have been regular occurrences of these huge mortality events. But what we've just found out this year, and that's news for us, is that we're also seeing much more subtle effects on these animals. A gradual exposure to low doses of domoic acid that they repeatedly ingest at levels that don't cause death apparently cause gradual brain damage that results in epilepsy. The domoic acid also crosses the placenta and damages the fetuses. So these females are aborting, and we've now just found domoic acid in aborted fetuses from these animals. Thus, these low levels of domoic acid that aren't causing dramatic die-offs but are in these harmful algal blooms that are increasing worldwide can have subtle effects on both reproduction and neuronal function. So these harmful algal blooms aren't really just an abstract concern for ocean health, but they also have implications for human health. So I believe that these sea lions that are washing up along the coast are actually acting as important canaries in the coal mine, warning us of some ocean changes that can truly impact human health.
Frances Gulland is at the Marine Mammal Center in Sausalito, California. It's a gorgeous place, normally. And a final picture of oceans in a mess.
Good morning, I'm David Klein. And as most of you know, coral reefs throughout the world are in a horrible state of decline. And this situation is even worse in the Caribbean where I work, where it's been estimated that up to 80% of the coral coverage in the Caribbean has been lost in the last 30 years. And the situation in the Caribbean is due to several different factors that are affecting reefs at the same time: overfishing, global warming, and increased level of pollutants on reefs. As Andy mentioned, people are viewing oceans as a giant garbage dump. And what I wanted to do in my research was figure out how all these different things we're dumping into the ocean, how they impact corals. Less than 10% of the sewage in Central America and the Caribbean receives any sewage treatment at all. So all these chemicals and compounds are going directly onto the reefs. And when I tested a large suite of stressors to look at what was affecting the corals directly, what we found out is that the normal players, nitrogen and phosphate, weren't causing damage directly to the corals. And an unexpected result was that simple sugars or organic carbon was causing high levels of coral mortality, up to 90% mortality in my experiments. And we wanted to figure out, why are these simple sugars such a problem? And when we did further research, what we found is that corals have bacterial communities that are part of their normal, healthy, symbiotic communities. But when simple sugars are added at too high of levels, these same bacteria can grow out of control and cause mortality and disease. This problem is even worse because pollutants such as nitrogen and phosphorus stimulate algal growth, and many reefs in the Caribbean and throughout the world actually are going through a transition from being dominated by corals to being dominated by algae. And the first product of photosynthesis is glucose, or a simple sugar. So when these algae start to grow out of control, they release simple sugars, which affect the corals, which can lead to further coral death. So in the Caribbean, we're in this kind of scary positive feedback loop, where with overfishing and pollutants increasing the amount of algae, as well as inputs of organic carbon from land runoff and sewage, corals are being overgrown by the bacteria that are normally beneficial, leading to high levels of disease and mortality.
No wonder you can't go fishing in some places anymore. David Klein at the Smithsonian Tropical Research Institute in Panama. And after all that, their advice for mealtime?
Makes you think twice about lunchtime sushi.
Yeah, we call Caesar salad now seizure salad.
Well, maybe it's not so funny. Even the fish from Sydney Harbour is off limits, which is a shame, because fish, it seems, can be very good for you. Did you hear All in the Mind 2 weeks ago on ABC Radio National? Joseph Hiblin on omega-3.
I have found that in countries where little seafood is eaten, the risks of depression are 50 times higher than in countries where a great deal of seafood is consumed. As well, the risk of specific times of severe mental disorders, for example, bipolar disorder, or sometimes called manic depressive disorder, is about 30 times higher in countries where little seafood is consumed compared to where those seafood is consumed a great deal. For major depression, amongst the highest rates study we looked at in the Lancet paper were in New Zealand, where about 6.5% of people had a major depression in the course of a year, as opposed to Japan, where about 0.1% of people had a major depression. Other countries have more extreme values. For example, bipolar disorder is the lowest of all in Iceland, and Iceland is the country with the greatest per capita consumption of seafood, whereas bipolar disorder was very high in Brazil and in Germany, where rates of seafood consumption were very low.
Joseph Hiblin from the National Institute of Health in Bethesda, Maryland.
ABC Radio National. More than 60 programs, more than 260 transmitters Australia-wide. And we're live on the net as well as media on demand streams. Find out how to get more out of Radio National. Go to abc.net.au/rn. And for the full list of MP3 and podcast programs, abc.net.au/rn/podcast.